liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Bafangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
Now we have the government through Joe Biden's executive order, okay, with regard to federal workers and through a federal rule through OSHA for companies that employ more than 100 people to mandate that employees take part in a medical experiment. This is perverse to the extreme. This is something that at the Nuremberg Code said should never, or Nuremberg trial said should never be repeated. All right. No civilized country should be engaging in this conduct. And yet we have it being done worldwide over a ginned up, unrealistic fear that COVID-19, which is basically no more deadly than the ordinary flu. Now they mandate these vaccinations. The vaccinations themselves are so dangerous that the VAERS system, which when you look at the VAERS system, the number of people that have reported adverse events is in the many, many thousands, and the deaths are many, many thousands. But keep in mind that the VAERS system is only reporting 1%. 1% of the deaths and injuries from the vaccines. And so what they're doing now, they're in a frenzy. They're in a frenzy because the more than 25%, and I think it well exceeds that, of the U.S. population has not agreed to take part in this medical experiment. That's a problem. Why? Because they constitute a control group. And Robert Kennedy's book, he explains this very well. This control group would pose a broad relief to the dangers posed and the carnage posed by these the vaccines. And so when you have a healthy population as a control group, then it would be a stark relief demonstrating just how dangerous these vaccines are, how injurious they are. So what they've done is they've decided, okay, we've gotten all the suckers to get the vaccine. Now we've got to get the resistors. We're going to force them to. We're going to threaten to have them fired if they don't get the vaccine. And I know many people who have, in fact, been fired because they refuse to be vaccinated. They know the dangers of these vaccines. It's really quite outrageous what we're going through now. This is Orwellian. And it has woken up the many sectors of the population that ordinarily would view such conspiracies as wacky, as tinfoil hat, conspiracy theories. But now when they see it happening before their very eyes, they realize, oh, wait a minute, there is a conspiracy. there is a conspiracy against the people, that the government is working against the people, okay? And, you know, the lawlessness by the Biden administration, this is a criminal cartel that has taken over the federal government. And people have to understand something that our founding fathers understood very clearly. And that is, government is one thing and one thing only. And that is force. Okay. So when you have people marching on Washington, all right, well, what they're marching on Washington for is they want to get the force of government to force other people to do things that they ordinarily wouldn't want to do. They want to control, they want to motivate government to do something for them, to use their force for them. See, understand this, that government is, it's simply force, okay? They don't try to convince, they don't cajole, and this vaccine mandate illustrates that point. Government is force, that's all it is. And they, when somebody comes to your door and says, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help you, no, they're not. They're there to force you to do something that you don't that you wouldn't ordinarily want to do. Okay. And that's why our Constitution places limits on that government. Okay. And most of the laws enacted, and that's not an exaggeration when I say most of the laws that are now enacted by Congress are in violation of the limitations placed on the government by the Constitution. And so that's how I would answer that.
Well, I think I asked the right question, Edward. I'm telling you, there are provinces in India where they're now declaring no vax, no fuel, no food. I mean, it's this monstrous. On the other hand, India has brought the first murder charges against Bill Gates and an Indian billionaire who, I think this is a step in the right direction. You have response to those developments?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not just India. My understanding is they've already in Australia, the army is involved in relocating the population into resettlement camps. That came out last week. And by the way, the CDC has published a plan, which I posted on my blog. People can read it. It's still up. I just checked the other day, a plan for relocating Americans.
Well, I think that's been around for a while, the COVID camps, right? Which clearly a re-education, concentration, even death camps. Scorpio, your thoughts about what Edward's already been laying out here, which of course is very important and fascinating and troubling altogether.
Well, yes, I'd like to thank Edward for coming back on the show. It was a great interview last time, and it's already starting off good. I think, you know, first of all, you know, the Nuremberg codes don't really mean much. That was all part of the show trial that they put the Nazis on, and some of the charges were dubious to begin with. But I think what we're seeing is just it's all a one-way street with these sort of high-ended ideals. And it all is quite a facade. We're really seeing that this is a conspiracy that goes far beyond just our federal government. This federal government is completely captured by the international banking cabal, which really has to be somewhere close to the top of the food chain. Because if you can create money, you can create anything you want, and you can print up money and hand it out to your friends for whatever secret project you want. So, we're seeing, this is no longer a conspiracy theory. This is happening in real time. And of course, really, this goes back to, you know, the efforts of the World Economic Forum, the Rockefeller Institute and the Bill Gates, foundations, the Rockefeller Foundation as well. So, what the goal here is to create a society where you cannot participate in it without the vaccine. And it does not matter how toxic or dangerous the vaccine is. This is the agenda, and they're going to push it forward until enough people say no worldwide. And of course, I believe that there's multiple agendas within that as well, including depopulation, sterilization and behavioral modification through this. But make no mistake, the end goal is to have it so that you cannot participate in society without the vaccine. And it doesn't matter if there's a rational reason to have these so-called vaccines, or whether or not they're extremely dangerous, or if they're killing people. We're seeing, you know, the covert power of whatever you want to call it, the hidden government, the secret government, that's really already in place. We already have a world government. That's why we're seeing, you know, all these different countries sort of dance to the same tune one at a time. And they're trying to make it look like it's an organic, you know, decision by each individual government. But the strings are being pulled behind the scenes by a tremendous force. And we're seeing this actually come out of the shadows a little bit and you know, creating this world government that really is already in place. They just haven't told us yet.
Well, and of course, the force powerful enough has central control of the banking system in virtually every nation of the world, which is the Rothschild Empire, where Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, who's been in the forefront of promoting the Great Reset and all that, is himself a Rothschild. Giuseppe, I'm certain you have thoughts you'd like to contribute.
There are many thoughts percolating in my squirming brain, Jim. I would like to ask Edward if his thoughts on the following scenario, that the actual technology for the messenger RNA genetic modification injection has been around for 20 years. They just couldn't get past the animal trials. They kill the ferrets, they kill the cats, they kill the dogs, they kill the monkeys. And so they needed a deception, a farce, a scamdemic to drive people to this experiment, which is messenger RNA injected into humans to essentially attempt to rewrite, as they say, the operating system of the human immune system, which is just so satanically criminal. I could start a big rant now. But the way they did that is to create and release intentionally a gain-of-function bioweapon, the so-called SARS-CoV-2, which has a messenger RNA sliver of HIV in it, a messenger RNA sliver of Ebola in it, a messenger RNA sliver of MERS in it. And so essentially that created a monstrous tidal wave of fear porn in the mind of the average normie it's scientism, it's a religious cult. Oh, I got to trust the church of the magic jab, it will save me, even though the science proves that there was never any benefit to this injection other than it somewhat ameliorates the symptoms. It doesn't prevent the patient from manifesting SARS-CoV-2. It doesn't do anything. And it's just, how can people not understand that scenario when it's slapping them in the face every day?
Good point. Robert Young actually looked and analyzed actually Moderna, Pfizer, I believe the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines, actually all four of them. And he found that that they contain graphene oxide. Now, graphene oxide is cytotoxic. It's dangerous. But apparently it has some sort of effect. And I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there are people that have opined that this is some way to allow control of a person through 5G. I don't know how that works. I'm not sure. This is all so new, but I do know early on in the run-up to the scare of COVID-19 that the ships that where the tourists, these became ill. Each one of those ships, which was not publicized by the major media, each one of those ships had been outfitted with brand new 5G antenna systems. And it just so happened that that's where the COVID-19 broke out, was on those ships. So there is some relationship between the illnesses that they've labeled as COVID-19 and 5G.
Right.
And I believe that the vaccines are in some way going to be a way to control people through 5G. I also believe that that's part of the reason for the move, the push towards electric vehicles. Because with electric vehicles, not necessarily with 5G, but with electric vehicles, there is absolute control over that vehicle remotely. So, I don't want to get too far into a tangent, but there's so many things that are happening so quickly. And it just seems that the science is moving towards giving central control. And once you have central control, all you got to do is control the center. And that's so easy. Okay. So centralization of control always happens first. And then they don't care who controls the government or whoever controls the center. They don't care who is in power now. Okay. But that massing power in one central authority first, and then gaining control over that authority is what you have to be concerned with.
Edward, those are very astute observations. I'm convinced this whole green agenda, which is based on phony claims about the environment, CO2 being a health hazard and all that, ridiculous. CO2 turns out to cool the earth, the planet, in four different ways. It's indispensable to life. Trees and bushes convert CO2 into oxygen, indispensable for life. I believe the whole idea of having another fabricated rationale for moving to electricity is stupidity looked at scientifically, but perhaps genius from the point of view of politics. It seems that electrical power consumes more energy to produce than it saves. Electric cars have very limited mobility, so it's going to restrict Americans from gaining, the kind of freedom they have to travel now. Taking away the gas and oil industry from America is to doom us to third world status. So I believe they're accomplishing a whole host of issues by this agenda, this green agenda. I also agree and believe that the graphene oxide creates a brain electromagnetic interface so that even our thoughts and moods can be controlled remotely by means of 5G. But the 5G is so powerful, it has such a limited range, you have to have massive numbers of these towers. I mean, it's absolutely stunning how many have to be put up, where I believe a lot of other activities are taking place to distract us from the threats thereby represented. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, the so-called green agenda is really the same agenda as the COVID agenda. That's what people need to realize. It's the same agenda because it's really talking about the centralization, further centralization of power, the control of all natural resources, and the limiting of mobility of the average person. Because with COVID, well, you can't go out and travel because you might spread COVID. But with the green agenda, you can't go out and travel because you're ruining the environment with your carbon footprint. And electric cars are going to represent a huge decrease in your ability to go very far away from a charging station. And not to mention the fact that the power grid simply won't be able to handle if you end up having millions of cars that are electric, there won't be the power from the power grid to be able to handle that kind of load. It's just, none of it adds up. And I think Edward hit on something really important, which is the centralization of power. The only way out of this is the decentralization of power. Everything has to be decentralized and put back to the local level. Because what we have is a secret world government that's already in place. As I said, they just haven't told us yet. And so people need to, first of all, realize that. And then the way back home, so to speak, is decentralization of power, bringing things back to the local level. That includes manufacturing. you think about how, you know, if these people really gave a damn about so-called carbon footprints, you wouldn't have things made in China and then shipped halfway around the world to where it's going to be consumed. That's insane. And so obviously the whole thing is a fraud, because if it was legitimate, they'd want to have everything produced as close to the consumption point as possible to reduce the carbon footprint. But of course, none of that's happening because it's all a hoax. It's all a fraud. It's all a grand scheme to capture control of all natural resources and capture control of human behavior.
Giuseppe.
I'd like to ask Edward his thoughts. He touched on it a little earlier that the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, as revealed by a penetrating audit by Harvard in the early 21st century, revealed, as Edward stated, that less than 1% of all actual vaccine damage is reported. So right now, as of a couple days ago, you had 19,249 deaths in the United States. You have nearly 40,000 reported in the Europe, which is a little bit more honest about what they're reporting. And so that, you know, rounded up 20 and 40, that's 60,000. So the reality is probably somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million people murdered by this evil satanic experiment in the last 10 months. And that all the maiming and injuries is in the millions in 10 months. And how can any sane individual not look at those numbers and say, what in the absolute F is going on here? And you know, even just what less than 50 years ago in 1976, when they tried to roll out the quaccination for swine flu, and then President Ford pulled the plug on the whole thing when 58 people were murdered and about 12,000 were injured. So what happened, Edward, to the goyim cattle that they so trust and are marching to their own slaughter? I mean, these numbers are stunning. This is mass murder on an amazing scale.
Yeah, really good point. That Harvard study, which, by the way, has been verified by a few other studies as well, indicating that it bears is really only reporting about 1% of the adverse events. And so when you have right now 19,000 people who have been reported in VAERS as having died, well, I can't say as a result, because VAERS is actually a correlation. So they haven't proven causation, but here's the interesting thing. They don't go through any effort to prove causation because they know that about 40 or so percent of the VAERS deaths are within 48 hours of vaccination. I believe that establishes probable cause for causation. So even though VAERS is not a reporting system of causation, it's a reporting system of correlation. I think if you even take half of that at 8,000, well, if you figure that those 8,000 represent 1/100th of the actual deaths, that translates to 800,000 deaths.
Yes.
Caused, I think, caused conservatively by the COVID vaccines. Okay.
In 10 months.
And that's quite aside from all of the physical maladies that are caused as well. I mean, you're talking, they report 97,000 hospitalizations. Okay. Well, that, if you assume that that's 1% of hospitalizations, you know, that's 9 million people. Okay. And then once they get hospitalized, they're treated with remdesivir, which is a poison,
yep,
which has in studies proven to be ineffective and dangerous. But that is the protocol that is approved by the CDC. Unbelievable. Whereas hydroxychloroquine
and other effective but yet inexpensive drugs like ivermectin also are denigrated by the CDC and the FDA. And they say, no, you can't use those. They relegated ivermectin. They call it a horse dewormer, okay, when it has a long history of safety and efficacy. So why would they do that? Well, remdesivir, a course of medication with remdesivir, I think is like $3,000 as opposed to $3 for ivermectin, you see. So ivermectin is off patent. Remdesivir is patented. Authorization for remdesivir, very sketchy what they did when authorizing remdesivir. Robert Kennedy in his book does a fantastic job of going through all of that. Now, by the way, I think he was generous enough to allow for the audiobook to be published online. You can get it on Odyssey. I have a link to it on my blog to the audiobook from for Robert Kennedy's book titled The Real Anthony Fauci. What a fantastic expose of Anthony Fauci. And it goes beyond Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci is just kind of the figurehead. He's a tool, if you will. There are forces behind Anthony Fauci that are pulling the strings. All right. He is completely controlled. And Scorpio hit on this earlier when he started talking about the money powers. All you have to do in order to know who's really controlling this whole thing is figure out who you're not allowed to criticize. Very similar to Christ time. Okay. When Jesus Christ was walking the earth, who was it that the people were afraid, hid out, were afraid to criticize? They hid because of fear of the Jews. Okay. You criticize the Jews and you're labeled as an anti-Semite. You are marginalized. Okay. And we're talking not the ordinary Jews. We're talking about very powerful people, the people that ran the Sanhedrin, the same people that now run the Federal Reserve, okay?
The synagogue of Satan.
We're talking about a very powerful cabal faction who is working behind the scenes, okay, pulling the strings. This is all being done. You talk about the pharmaceutical industry? Again, that is just a front. The real power is the money power, okay? Stop and think about it. It's like magic. With a stroke of a pen, or rather a keystroke, you can create trillions of dollars out of thin air. When Trump signed that $6 trillion bill, I couldn't believe my ears, $6 trillion relief bill, relief package, okay, that stimulus package, that money did not exist until he signed that bill. And then poof, it came into existence. It was all inflation. It's pure inflation. All of this money that's being pumped into the economy is pure inflation. It's stealing. Inflation is stealing. What the Federal Reserve, people don't know that the Federal Reserve is a private company. It's a private consortium of banks. It is not part of the federal government. Look in the phone book. It's not in, it has treasury seals on it, but that's all to scam people. It's a scam. Okay. They exist because a law was passed, an unconstitutional law, creating what is essentially a central bank that the government must borrow its money from. All right. And so this all comes back to the money powers, this whole thing. Okay. They fear the people. They fear information. That's why they're trying to shut information down. Okay. They are very powerful, but they're pretty stupid. They're not that swift. They leave trails all over the place, indicating their intent, indicating their plans, indicating their mistakes. Okay. And this COVID fiasco is just one example. All person has to do is pay attention and realize these people are really stupid. I mean, Anthony Fauci, he can't go a week without contradicting prior statements he's made. Okay. The people, I mean, Fauci is a good example. He's a dumbbell. You listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And all he can do when somebody tells a lie, they can do one of two things. Okay. They can admit they lied and be done with it, or they can cover their lies with more lies. And most of these people usually cover their lies with more lies. And Fauci has been painted into a corner many times with his lies. Why he hasn't been indicted by Congress for perjury, I don't know.
Well, it's because Israel, through AIPAC, controls the Congress, and Fauci is a part of their agenda to seize control of the world on behalf of the Rothschilds. I think it all fits together. You're, of course, absolutely correct about the Federal Reserve, which we discuss frequently. Scorpio, I'm certain, would like to respond to your observation. Scorpio.
Well, yeah, I have to agree with everything Edward just said. I guess my question for Edward would be, you know, if you were to pull out your crystal ball, so to speak, where do you see this train wreck going? I mean, as far as I can tell, they've already taken things too far to possibly turn back. You know, they've and it seems to me that things are going to move forward at an exponential rate ever more quickly to achieve this ultimate goal of a new system, a new society. They've come so far in it. I don't see any turning back. If you were to pull out your crystal ball, what do you see as like the timeline going forward for what they're going to try to do and the state of resistance that might be encountered by the people?
Well, what a great question. I will quote from Shakespeare. They will try to busy their giddy minds with foreign quarrels. Okay. So the first thing these scoundrels will do to take the mind off of all of this tyranny is to create a foreign quarrel. You see, you can hear, I mean, they're already talking about war with China and so forth. Remember, They if they had an economic collapse, people would start paying attention and say, hey, who's to blame for this? But if they have a war and then an economic collapse, they can blame it on the war. Okay? So many things, so many liberties can be taken from the people during a time of war in the interest of winning the war, making the sacrifices of your liberty for that war, okay? There is no substitute for war. Right now, the government, as we speak, is insolvent. The reason the interest rates are so low is if they raise the interest rates, the government would collapse. They could not pay the interest on the debt. That's how bad it is, okay? They simply do not have the cash flow to pay the interest on the federal debt. There is a problem. There's a liquidity problem. That's why the interest rates are so low. There's going to come an inflection point where this dollar, as all fiat currencies do, will collapse. It's inevitable, okay? Right now, it's already lost 99% of its value. We're now dilly-dallying, fiddling with the last 1%. Gives you an idea how far we've come. I believe that they're going to, in some way, justify a new currency, which will be a digital currency.
Yes.
They have plans for it. They don't like the system that as it is now, because it's anonymous. You can spend money. They don't have really that control over what you do. They can with digital currency. They have complete control. And that goes back to what Scorpio was talking about with centralized control. And when we're talking about vehicles, there was a case where a guy had a dispute with Tesla, and he was driving cross country, and the dispute was over a warranty claim, and they wanted to deny his warranty claim. They had already paid it. Then they realized they made a mistake. And so he refused to pay back the money. So what they did was they shut off his ability to use the fast chargers as he was driving cross country. Well, without a fast charger, you can't drive cross country. It's just not possible. I mean, it would take you, I don't know how long it takes without fast charging to charge the car up. It's like a day or something.
That's the kind of control they have.
And that's what we're talking about with defunding the police. This whole defunding the police movement, okay, which is run by communist front organizations, when you defund the police, there is going to be a vacuum. That vacuum has to be filled. Guess what they want to fill it with? Federal police. Yeah. Okay. So I think it was Biden announced not too long ago some bill that he or somebody proposed regarding funding, federal funding of police. Okay. Sort of a law enforcement thing. That's the worst thing you want. That's how it starts. That's how the camel gets his nose under the tent, with federal funding. With federal funding comes federal control over your local police. Okay. That's the last thing you want. But when you create a vacuum, something's got to fill that vacuum. And you don't want police controlled from Washington, D.C. That's not what you want. That's why federal agents are called special agents. They are not called federal police. Why? Their authority is specialized and limited. They have limited authority to only enforcing federal law. Well, now when you have the federal government funding the local police, now they have a string, okay, that comes, all kinds of strings that come with that money. They can control what the local police do, how they train, how they, what their policies are, how they react to certain crimes. So that's the last thing you want. And so that's you can see it happening before your very eyes. All the centralization of power is a precursor to a clampdown, this tyranny. Now, our founding fathers were a lot smarter than these people. It's taken them now more than 200 years to try to undermine the work done by our founding fathers to basically tie down their hands with the Constitution. The Constitution really gets in their way. And in other countries where they don't have this concept of God-given rights, which we do under our Constitution, they're losing their liberty, and they're looking to the United States. They want to, we are like the light on the shining light on the hill. They're looking at, okay, what are the U.S. citizens going to do? How are they responding? They're all looking at the U.S., okay, because we have this concept of God-given rights, which limits what the government can do. Okay. Other countries don't have that. They have privileges granted by their government. Okay. Our rights do not flow. When you look at the Bill of Rights, those rights do not flow from the government. Those rights are assumed to be given to you by God. Okay. And because they don't flow from the government cannot take them away. They are inalienable. You are born with certain inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property. And yes, Thomas Jefferson got it wrong when he said pursuit of happiness. It is property, okay? Those are the three basic rights that you have. Give up any one of them and the others will fall as well. So you have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and property. And those are God-given rights. Those are protected by our Constitution. And most of the laws, as I said earlier, are unconstitutional. And certainly the COVID mandate, how can anybody in their right mind think that a government that's of the people, by the people, and for the people can mandate that they take part in a medical experiment, which is already demonstrated at the very minimum 19,000 deaths, and more likely we're looking at probably causing 800,000 deaths.
Edward, I do not believe Jefferson got it wrong when he talked about the pursuit of happiness. He was talking about the freedom of each individual to pursue whatever makes them happy, which is fundamental to our way of life and why you minimize constraints on human action. So I agree with all the other points you're making, but on that one, I believe you're wrong. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, Scorpio wanted to jump in.
Yeah, if I could just add something briefly.
He purposely avoided using the word property. Okay.
Yeah. You know, as good as the Constitution is, I think really it's been, you know, the problem is you have things like the Necessary and Proper Clause and this concept of public safety that can be ever expanded. The Necessary and Proper Clause could really encompass anything you want. And that's how they've been able to subvert the essence of the Constitution is through the Committee of Style. When the Constitution was written, went in and made some very subtle changes to the wording and the punctuation of the Constitution that allowed these incredible power grabs to occur. And now we have this concept of public safety, which really can mean anything. You can make that an all-encompassing concept very easily, and we're seeing that happen. And so I think the problem is that we're going to have to see a reaction from the people. We cannot look to anything from within the system to save us. It's already too far gone. And you have to look at, you know, you talked about the debt and the interest rate. I don't believe there's going to be a real economic collapse, because that is the method of control, is the money. They're not going to let that spin out of control. There may be a controlled demolition where it appears to collapse, but that's why they're going to go into this digital currency, because once you go into a digital currency, all fundamental rules are out the window. You can literally do whatever you want. There is no reality tied to the money system whatsoever. And until we get back to a money system that's tied to something real, be it labor, gold and silver, some kind of tangible resource that limits the power of money printing, none of this is going to end. And you have to wonder, what's the national debt? What, $35 trillion? That's probably the sum total of the value of most of the United States. So, you know, it's quite a dilemma. And I don't believe there's going to be any kind of real economic collapse. It'll be we may see the appearance of one, but it's going to be a controlled demolition. It has to be, because they're not going to let go of their power. And lastly, you know, the idea of a war with China is very interesting, China and Russia. We've done all we can to move the chess pieces around on the board. It's odd, because they've done all they can to sort of soften up the United States military with the feminization of it, and bringing, you know, transgender people to the very top of the food chain, removing the patriotic generals. Back during the Obama administration and before that, way before that, it really started after World War II. So there's been this effort to sort of soften up the U.S. military, and a war with China and Russia could quite possibly end with America intentionally losing the war, so that the system can be replaced with a system very, very similar to what they have in China now.
Very, very interesting.
I like your concept of a controlled demolition. So, that when I talk about a collapse, okay, what I'm saying is the fiat currency must collapse. It's inevitable. It cannot continue. Now, I agree with you that they're going to do a controlled demolition. Okay, I think that's a good way of putting it. So when I talk about a collapse, they're going to try to control it so that when it happens, it's going to be a transition to a digital currency. When the Federal Reserve, our system of Federal Reserve notes is going to transition to some type of digital currency. And so I think you're right that it will be a controlled demolition. With regard to the Necessary and Proper Clause, our founding fathers knew what those words meant when they wrote them. All you have to do is look in the dictionary. A law that's enacted in conformance with the specific delegated authority in the Constitution, in Article 1, must be both necessary and proper. What has happened is we had the U.S. Supreme Court reinterpret what is essentially plain English to mean that if a law has a rational basis, then it is not unconstitutional. So basically, they redefined necessary and proper.
And in fact, the way they teach it in schools today is that the necessary and proper clause is an implied powers clause. No, it's not. There are no implied powers of the federal government. Every power and authority the federal government has is specifically delineated in the Constitution. So if it's not listed there, they don't have that authority. And the necessary and proper clause is simply allowing for laws that are both necessary and proper in the exercise of that specifically delegated authority. But it has been twisted by liberals in the U.S. Supreme Court to mean something other than necessary and proper. And that's the problem. And you're dealing with corruption. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, all you have to do is look at Obamacare. Look what the Supreme Court did with Obamacare. I mean, the same guy who was writing the opinion, the Chief Justice of the United States, what's his name? Give me his
John
name.
Roberts.
Roberts. Roberts is writing the opinion, and he was going to strike down Obamacare as being unconstitutional. In the middle of writing that opinion, he had some kind of epiphany, and he decided, you know what? It's constitutional after all. Okay. He was going to say, he was writing that it violated the Commerce Clause, the limitations on the federal government to regulate interstate commerce. This was not a proper regulation of interstate commerce. Okay. And so it was unconstitutional. The federal government had no authority to require somebody to buy insurance. He suddenly decided in the middle of writing that opinion that, in fact, the government does have the authority under their taxing authority, even though at oral arguments, the federal government argued and acknowledged that they don't have that very authority, okay, to mandate under their taxing authority. But he decided they did. And so as a protest, by the way, the dissent took Roberts. The first three quarters of the dissent was actually written by Roberts. He wrote that dissent. That's why it was a per curiam dissent, okay? So the first three quarters of that dissent was written by Roberts, and it was supposed to be the majority opinion. He then shifted, wrote the majority opinion that upheld Obamacare as a proper exercise of their taxing authority. And the dissent was so, the dissenting justices were so angry, they made it a per curiam dissent and just took his, what he wrote. So he wrote most of the dissent and the majority opinion in that case. But that just goes to show you how deep is the corruption in Washington, D.C. Somebody got to him. I don't know what it was, but somebody got to him. And after he wrote that opinion, what did he do? He left the country. He left the country, and people saw him in Malta going into the headquarters for the Knights of Malta.
That's really terrible, stunning stuff. We have a lot of reason to believe that Roberts is under extortion, that he adopted two children improperly, and that the threat has been, among others, to remove them from his control. But we also find his name on the passenger list for the Lolita Express. So I think there are multiple ways in which he may be corrupt. L. Lynn Wood has been very emphatic about this. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Well, it's alleged that Roberts is a closeted homosexual and a pederast. So that's how they, the internationalist Jew, the synagogue of Satan, got him to flip. Pretty easy, actually. So speaking of Henry Ford's magisterial work a century ago in the Dearborn Independent, the Internationalist Jew, which rings so true today, which is essentially the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor a reserve. It's about as Federal Express. But what we're looking at and why I put up the debt clock, and I'd like to get Edward's thoughts on, in my mind, what's really going on, is if you look right here, the U.S. national debt is $29 trillion Well, actually, let's see. There's a million. There's billion. Yeah, $29 trillion. But the kosher casino, the internationalist Jew currency and credit derivatives, is $603 trillion and growing. So there's no way that gambling, which derivatives and currency bets are essentially bets on bets. It's not, it's absurd. It's not even anywhere near anything in the real world. It's digital gambling at an AI level, which is just absurd. But they've transferred so much wealth from the real world into the parasitic internationalist Jew digital world that they have to blow up the system somehow. And, you know, it's either going to be this scamdemic and the quaxination. It's going to be a hot war with China or Russia. They have to do something to get their great reset, because this $603 trillion can never be repaid. Your thoughts on that?
There's no way. I agree. This debt clock is really something. I just pulled it up. Wowee. Man. That's... And the derivatives, by the way, if you've ever looked at the derivatives that the private banking industry is involved in, you'll be very concerned about the safety of your money in the bank.
Indeed.
Now, if it wasn't for FDIC insurance, I don't know that anybody would have their money in a bank. And I don't know if the FDIC really has enough to, well, I know they don't, to pay off when if any one of the large banks collapsed. Because understand this, when you put your money in the bank, that's actually not your money. You're loaning that money to the bank, and you become an unsecured creditor if that bank goes under. So just be aware of that. Your status with regard to that money, people think, oh, that's my money. No, it's not. No, it's not. You've loaned it to the bank. You're an unsecured creditor. And that's just from a legal stance. Your only protection really is the FDIC insurance. How far that will stretch, I don't know. I haven't analyzed that, but my
Bye.
Very far.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world
have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of the event. We're joined today by the great Edward Hendry. I advocate all of you listeners and viewers go to greatmountainpublishing.com. That's spell it out, the word greatmountainpublishing.com. He's a phenomenal researcher, investigator, and author, and support his work. We need to support all independent muckraking real journalists, since in the mainstream gaslighting media there are none. So support Edward, support us, and support Revolution Radio. If you go to the new website, at the top is donate. It's about Revolution Radio is about to enter its 12th year, completely listener supported, and so please go click on donate and donate. The best way to is via Patreon, because that way the lady horse, the owner of Revolution Radio, can understand what her monthly revenue is. So, Edward, how did you come to create Great Mountain Publishing?
Well, that's the actually, it's kind of an interesting story how I've published my books at all. Actually, I had my first book just, it was posted with in a PDF format. I didn't charge for it. It's still up. It's called Antichrist Conspiracy. People can download it anywhere. And I wanted to share it with my elderly aunt, and I wanted to email it to her, and she explained to me, well, I don't read things off the screen. So she goes, I have to have it on paper. I said, okay. So then I said, I have to figure out a way to get it to her on paper. And I'm by nature frugal. So I know that printing it out would be very expensive. So I went online and figured, wait a minute. I can have this thing published with one of those self-publishing websites. And I went to the one I went to is Lulu, and you can buy the books one at a time through Lulu and then have it sent to her for a fraction of the cost of photocopying. So within literally an hour, I had the thing uploaded and mailed to her. And that started actually my publishing. And so it's Great Mountain Publishing is the publishing house that I
run for my books. And my books are actually print on demand through another public, not Lulu. I still have them at Lulu, but so they're available everywhere on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. You can get them all over the internet. And so that's how I started. It actually started by accident. I had never intended to actually have hard copy published documents. It just happened because I was trying to get my aunt, my 80-year-old aunt, to read my book.
That's awesome.
That's a wonderful story. I love it, Ed. Yeah, Scorpio, further thoughts from you?
Well, you know, this has been an excellent conversation. I guess maybe my next question for Edward would be, you know, it seems to me that you know, thinking that the Supreme Court or the Constitution is going to be our way out of this, I just don't think, I think we've gone too far. I think we've crossed the Rubicon. You know, the Supreme Court already ruled Jacobson versus, what was it? I forget what state it was, but the Jacobson versus something where they said that, you know, this guy had to take the vaccine or face a fine.
Massachusetts.
And it just seems to me that this agenda is so big, they're going to shoehorn it in one way or another and just subvert the law, essentially. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that I think it was Jacobson's versus Massachusetts, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
But basically, the Jacobson court doesn't mean what many think it means today. So the test for constitutionality has really shifted quite a bit. There was a district court judge out of Pennsylvania, and he did a marvelous job of deconstructing Jacobson and explaining basically how Jacobson doesn't mean what people think it means today because of the development with regard to our freedoms when analyzing them regarding religious freedom and your bodily autonomy. So he did a great job, and I'm trying to remember his name, the judge's name. I actually wrote an article, a blog article. Let me see if I can pull it up here. And let's see. He did a great job, and he actually struck down many of the mandates in Pennsylvania. I can't find it right now, but it's one of the many. I have so many articles. I have to find it. But yeah, Jacobson is. I don't think it has the weight that people think it has. And I really think if they want to use that as the precedent. Remember, in that case, they were dealing with a fine. I can't remember what the fine was, maybe $5 or something for not getting vaccinated, which is very different from a vaccine mandate.
Right.
So we're talking apples and oranges here.
Well, let's just assume that's true. But I mean, from where I'm sitting, it just seems to me that the power behind this agenda is so great that they're going to subvert all law, all precedent, whatever they have to do to make this happen. And so I just don't think we can sit back and say, well, the Supreme Court's going to save us because that, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to belittle what you're saying, but do you see what I'm trying to get at? That is it? Do you think it's possible that simply this, they're going to subvert all law. They're going to strip away the thin veneer that holds society together and to break this system down so they can bring in a new system that's going to very much resemble the Chinese system. And I just don't see how we can sit back and hope that the government is going to follow the rules.
That's a valid concern. I mean, you know, all you have to do is look at what they did with the Kennedy assassination and that really, I guess, gives you a lot more credibility in this argument, because think about it. They assassinated the president of the United States. Congress had a hearing and they determined there was a conspiracy. And then they turned over their findings, I believe, to the Department of Justice and said, go get them, boys. And Department of Justice has done nothing. So that's the assassination of the president of the United States. Congress determined that there was a conspiracy and they've done nothing to find out who the conspirators are. So, Scorpio, I mean, I can certainly understand what you're saying. Okay. And
it's
from a legal perspective, I don't know that Jacobson represents what people think it represents. I think it's, there is room. There is room for hope. Let me just put it that way.
The situation with JFK is slightly more complex, Edward. You're referring to the HSCA reinvestigation in 77, 78, and its final report of 79, looking at JFK and Martin Luther King. They did find a probable conspiracy. On the other hand, if you go to the National Archives, there's a letter unsigned declaring that this was based on evidence from a recording. A motorcycle cop had left his mic on and it recorded what was supposed to be gunshot wounds. And I believe they actually are authentic, but it has been disputed. So this letter declares that the official position of the government remains the lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald. I had a most interesting conversation with a fellow named James Files, who purports to have been the shooter on the grassy knoll. In other words, a second gunman that would accord with the HSCA report, because that's the way they set up the microphones to test the acoustical tape from the motorcycle only allowed them to record shots that had been fired from the vicinity of the book depository or the fence. In other words, they excluded the data that would have confirmed what are 8, 9, or 10 shots that are actually captured on that audio tape. And I asked the leading expert on this subject at a conference on JFK whether I were correct that the way it had set up with regard to the book depository couldn't distinguish between the Dow text and the book depository, which he confirmed. Because the only shots fired with an unsilenced weapons were 3 from the book depository to set up that acoustical impression of only 3 shots having been fired. Well, Files, and we met, he came up here to Madison and I had I treated him and his wife to dinner and we had a fascinating conversation. What stuck out in my mind was this. Twice he said, once the government declares its position, it's locked in and it will never change. A perfect illustration is the 19, alleged hijackers, when a half a dozen or more turn up alive and well, make contact with the British media the following day. The FBI has never changed its list of the 19 suicide hijackers who are still alive the following day. So they won't change. I was led to the inference after reviewing the data with David W. Mantic, MD, PhD, is the leading expert on the medical evidence with whom I've been in collaboration since 1992, that the trajectory for the alleged shot Files had taken was wrong. I mean, it wasn't going to work, though the weapon he claimed to have used, which is this Remington Fireball, a pistol with a high-velocity pistol with a shoulder mount, was very interesting as possibly having been a weapon used. But what occurred to me was, and my inference, Files himself was cast in the role of, the government being locked in. He was cast in the role of being the second gunman. And because, of course, I mean, he has a history with organized crime, I actually like the guy tremendously. I mean, we just hit it off. I made a point of informing his wife, because he's now got 3 books on, I killed JFK. Here's a poster, I Killed JFK, that is signed by James Files, for example. I wanted him to know that that had been my conclusion, since I was undoubtedly going to be addressing it on other occasions. I didn't want him to think that I had in any way, shape, or form been playing him. I mean, that would have been an awkward position to be in. And as I say, I really, truly do genuinely like the guy. So his wife, who actually was a principal author, was reluctant to share this, my opinion, my finding with him, but eventually did. And she said, well, I finally told James, he said, well, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But I think, Edward, when you get the government still insists lone gunman, we've been able to prove Lee Oswald was standing in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by. I mean, this is just how blatant it gets about not being willing to revise the position of the government. So in a way, I'm reinforcing the point you're making, just correcting on JFK.
Okay, well, let me just make a point. I'm looking at the assassination records from the archives, and the finding C says the committee believes on the basis of the evidence available to it that President John F. Kennedy was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. Yeah. The committee is unable to identify the other gunman or the extent of the conspiracy. That was their finding.
Ed, I know it, and I'm telling you, David Manning goes in the National Archives. He's been there 7 or 8 times. There's a letter in there that is presumably superseding that says this, because that finding was based on disputed acoustical evidence, as I've been seeking to explain, the government's official position is that of the Warren Commission. And I'm just telling you, this is indicative of how once they're locked in, they'll never change. It's embarrassing because it means the government is irrational and unscientific in dealing with these issues. But the real reason is because if you pursue them, and this is why we're denigrated as conspiracy theorists, if we pursue them, they lead back when you investigate the crimes to the government itself. No surprise to you.
Yeah.
Giuseppe.
Yes, I'd like to ask Edward what his thoughts are with a century ago with the Synagogue of Satan, the International Jews effort for global communism and their new world order that is best manifested by what was done to Germany between Bankster War I and Bankster War II, Weimar Republic. And now it seems as though the United States is America is being transformed into Weimerica. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, who was it that said, history may not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. So we're seeing a lot of the same things that happened to Germany happening here to the U.S. Yeah. In fact, Antifa was a group that was a communist group formed in Germany during World War II. Prior to World War II, and it was an anti-fascist group. It's a communist front organization. It has lineage going all the way back to World War II, and we see them here, the same thing, okay? They're not really anti-fascist. What people don't seem to understand is fascism and communism are kissing cousins. So they're both socialist systems. Communism is slightly different. Fascism allows you to keep ownership of your company, but they tell you what to make and how to make it. And so we see that with one of the more notable examples is the car industry. The government is so all over what cars, how the cars can be made, the mileage, the seatbelt require, all of these things that airbags. All of these things that are in cars and how they're made. I mean, that's basically fascism. Where a communist country, the government would just own the corporation. So in China, all of the corporations are pretty much government run corporations. They are owned by the government to one extent or another. I mean, you have front men who, yes, they're very wealthy, but all you have to do is look at what happened to Jack Ma
And if they get dissatisfied with whoever it is that is wealthy in China and control and is the titular head of these companies, it's basically off with their head. So I don't know what's happened to Jack Ma since he disappeared. People haven't heard, but he's not the only billionaire that they have removed for being dissatisfied with what he said or done. But, you know, remember, if you really look into Adolf Hitler, Adolf Hitler was very much controlled by the banks. He was propped up. Okay. He worked very closely with Zionist Jews. All you have to do is, who was it? This guy Blackman who wrote a book, and the title of it now slips my mind, where he documented the agreements, the secret agreements between Zionist Jews and the Nazis to relocate Jews in Israel. This concept, what was going on in Germany was the persecution of the Jews was to drive them out of Europe to Israel. They wanted to gain hegemony in Israel. And the Jews did not want to leave Germany. They did not want to leave Europe. They were quite satisfied there. They didn't want to move in the middle of the desert. And so what they did was they just turned up the heat through the persecution in the Nazi regime. And Hitler was working very closely with the Jews, the Zionist Jews, in that relocation plan. That's what the final solution was. It wasn't extermination.
Exactly.
It was relocation.
Yep.
Very interesting stuff. Greg Hallett's published one of many of his books that Hitler was a British agent, and it may be the equivalent of what you're asserting here, Edward. And I take it would be the Rothschilds or the British government per se. Would you care to expand on that ever so slightly?
Well, I think he was clearly an agent of the Rothschilds. I mean, there's another book that documents that he was a communist agent. He worked very closely with the communists. Okay. So things aren't what they appear. They are not what they appear. I'm trying to find the name of that.
Watching the great movie Patton last night, and part of it was reflecting on Hitler's blunder in invading Russia, because the winter took such a serious toll and effectively demolished the Nazi war machine, though Patton and others had a great deal to do with it as well. Wonderful movie.
Well, I'll tell you, if you really want to know what was going on with so much. See, remember, Hitler was an ally with Russia when the war started. And so but he knew that Stalin was going to stab him in the back. And in fact, in Operation Barbarossa, that was actually an act of self-defense. I recommend a book. You can download it for free. It's called Icebreaker. And it reveals that what was going on with Operation Barbarossa was that the Russians were amassed on the Eastern Front, and they were ready to invade all of Western Europe. And they had taken down all barriers, and they had refitted their armored vehicles with without tracks, so they could maneuver on the roads in Europe. They were ready to go. And Hitler knew that. He had intelligence of it. And what he did was he struck them while they were flat-footed and masked like that. That's why he was able to cut through them so quickly, because they were outfitted for an offensive move, and they were not ready to defend themselves being masked the way they were. And that's why he had such great victories early on in Operation Barbarossa, cutting through Russia. And it was only later that things went bad for him. But Icebreaker is an excellent book, which goes into that. It's downloadable. If you type it in, in a PDF, and it's nicely done.
Yes, yes, Scorpio.
Well, this is a fascinating conversation, of course. You know, Hitler is a complicated subject, but I think Edward's correct that the purpose of the persecution of the Jews was to get them to was to create Israel, and to, I believe, have Israel be sort of a country that's going to lead the New World Order. Okay, so what are your thoughts on that, Edward?
Well, by the way, it just came to me. It's Edwin Black who wrote the book called The Transfer Agreement, where he documents all of what I just told you regarding the secret agreements between the Zionist Jews and the Nazis to transfer the Jews into Israel. And interesting, the Jews were very selective. They wanted only people with skills and money. So they wanted the rich and the skilled in Israel. And the rest they didn't really care too much about, the Zionist Jews. But it's the Edwin Black, the transfer agreement, and he has it. The book is documents the agreements.
Well, that's very like Mexico's policy, which if it were only ours, we'd be in far better shape today. In order to migrate to Mexico, you have to, number one, show that you have something to contribute to the good of Mexico, such as a talent, whether you're a plumber, a dentist, an attorney, a professor, whatever, that you can contribute to the good of Mexico. And second, that you have the financial resources to support yourself and any family members who come with you. I mean, look how obvious and appropriate are those two simple conditions, which if we only applied them here would obviate the massive border crisis, which of course exacerbated by Biden because he's essentially seeking to replace conservative white voters with Democrat, black and mixed minority voters who are soon going to become the majority as one of their efforts to deal with the fact that they were wiped out in 2020 by Trump, and it put them into panic mode. It's just disgusting beyond belief. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, we're coming up to the break, Jim, and I know you would like to take calls after the break. So that call-in number is 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. That'll be 540-352-4452. So join the conversation. I already have received some chats that people have compelling questions for the great Edward Hendry.
That's swell, and because we're having such a great time with Edward, I killed the break, so we're actually...
Oh, no break, okay.
Yeah, so we're in shape to go ahead and continue. If you want to start raising questions, it's only a minute or two earlier than we would have.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, calls 540-352-4452 on the running head, just as Giuseppe has announced. Tell us what we're getting from the chat room, Giuseppe, for Edward.
Well, we've got a gentleman who would like to ask Edward more thoughts on the Constitution, and we've also got a possible caller that would like to discuss Hitler a little more. So those are two I think are coming in.
Can we get them on the air?
Or they have to call Mitchell. They're calling.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and call those even in the chat room. Sometimes Mitchell just puts her questions right in the chat, and I just repeat them, you know, present them to
Well, we've got our first caller, area code 518. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and what is your question?
Hey, it's Mindset again. So, really, I wanted to really bring up the whole Linwood Flynn thing with the QAnon stuff. So it's looking like, you know, that's officially now, you know, Flynn at least is admitting that he didn't have anything to do with Q. Do you guys remember if Flynn, by any chance, was saying earlier in the years, last couple of years, that did he distance himself from Q at all? Do you guys remember, like, clearly saying, I have nothing to do with it, or did he, like, keep silent on that? Do you guys, because I don't really recall any information.
Mission being taken by Michael Flynn, but, you know, we had these regular reports and updates.
Right.
They sounded plausible, but none of them panned out. I mean, it was always something about to happen. And I think now in retrospect, we have to regard it as a psyop to suppress the tremendous resentment to the theft of the election and keep patriots from breaking out, even potentially in terms of violence, to retake the government. Now, it seems to have worked as a psyop, and I'm not sure that we have completely forfeited what might be an American Revolution number two, because, I mean, we're being murdered. We're being mass murdered. Biden Harris, obviously there to promote the mass murder agenda. We're having the country destroyed by the open borders, by the supply chain problems, which all turn out to be connected. Well, we have a deputy secretary of the Treasury, for example, declaring the supply problems are only going to be solved when every American is vaxxed, as though being vaccinated had anything to do with unloading, these cargo ships at the ports of the America. Scorpio, I'd love to get your thoughts on this.
While Scorpio's...
Sorry, Jim. Sorry about that. I was muted. Well, I think we should do a show on World War II. There's so many different aspects of that are, fascinating. And really, World War II is what allowed the buildup of the whole military-industrial complex, the intelligence complex. World War II set the stage for all of that to exist. And without World War II, we're really, in a lot of ways, we're still living off the vapor trail of World War II in so many ways in our civilization. And I'm pretty certain that both sides of the war were being funded by a central source, and that a lot of this was orchestrated. I don't believe that Hitler was a British agent, but I do think that he got into a game where he found himself over his head. In terms of the powers that were behind so many of this things that we're living through now. So World War II is an incredibly complex subject, and I think it was orchestrated, and it's really brought us to where we are in terms of a military industrial complex and an intelligence complex that is really sort of helping rule the roost for the banking cabal. And I think that we're at a point now where we simply can't look to any arm of government to fix this. People are going to have to really sort of start forming their own communities and creating, a new civilization on our own. I don't think we're going to get any help from the government at all. This plan has gone too far. They're going to push it all the way. And in order to get what they want, they have to destroy our current civilization.
Yeah, and I do think that Edward's right about the digital currency. Once they get there, we're all done for. We're all slaves, because they can cut us off from any financial resources we may have anytime they choose if we don't act in the manner they prefer. We have a caller here from Mary Code 518.
Wait, Jim, before you get to that caller, I just wanted to comment on what you had mentioned regarding it being a psychological, QAnon being a psychological operation. Yeah. If that's what you meant to say, I agree with you 100%. You really hit the nail on the head just from your assessment, objective assessment of what's going on. If you look at QAnon, it has the hallmarks of a communist psychological operation. Anatoly Golitsyn wrote a book, New Lies for Old. And in that book, he revealed one of the strategies of the communists was a strategy of a supposedly patriotic group of Russians who had a plan of seizing back the government from the Bolsheviks. And it turns out that plan was actually a psychological operation run by the communists in order to get people who were fighting against the communists to sort of lay back and trust the plan. And so that's the concept behind QAnon. QAnon is simply a rehash of the trust the plan used by the communists after the communist takeover of Russia. And I go through and I explain that in a blog post I did on my, it's called QAnon Trust the Plan. is a tried and true communist psychological operation. And that's exactly what QAnon is. It gets people, I've heard people say time and time again, oh, there's this plan, and they have this and they have that, and trust the plan. They've got it. Oh, yeah, Trump's going to take control. He's going to be back in the White House, all this other stuff, which never happens. And it's a way of getting people to back off, okay, on doing things that would, and they don't want to interfere with the plan, see? And so it basically dissuades people from taking action on their own. That's the whole concept of QAnon.
Well, Edward, we have a caller here from the 518 area code. Caller, please give us your first name and state and join the conversation. 518.
Is that me again?
Yeah, go ahead. Speak.
Yeah, it's me from before.
Oh, he already. Okay, hold on. We've got 281, and then we've got Tom from Idaho. Stand by. We get to these other callers first.
Yeah, that's cool.
281, am I up?
281, what your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead.
Yes, this is Bruce in Texas.
Hey, Bruce, how are you? Okay? Yeah, sounds good.
I'm doing good. How about you? Yeah, I'm under formerly Blue Skies, and now we got chemtrails left and right for the morning.
Yeah,
they
unreal.
Just don't give up on us, do they?
Nope, they don't.
I don't know. I'm pretty. I don't even have his first name of your guest, Edward. I like what he's saying. He seems to be pretty intelligent and well-rounded. I was afraid he was going to go off the deep end with the Hitler stuff. It was pretty good. I don't think he was controlled by the Rothschilds after 1930, after his election there in 33. I think he kind of broke from him. Sort of like you can draw a parallel between Hitler and Saddam Hussein. You know, he was a client to the West, and then he went his own way after he failed to take over Iran, and they had to take him out. I think the same applies to Hitler and his government. But that's not why I called. I think there's a pincher movement that we're being trapped in by the academia and the woke culture. There's a very good Bonnie Faulkner's show there that you can find it on grism.blogspot.com. She has a professor there that explains exactly where this woke culture started. And the roots go back to the Frankfurt School. You know, it's an inversion of reality. It's victimization as a political, you know, power tool. And the cancel culture is going to go into our finances, like Jim said, as far as when they go digital and they can pull the plug. Because anything, any resistance to their agenda will be seen as, you know, terrorism. It's violence. Any speech against it is violence. I don't know if we can even have small communities that are that can escape this tyranny that's coming down on us. Any thoughts?
Ed, would you like to comment on Bruce's remarks?
Well, he was what he was saying, it broke up so much. I was having a hard time following because the connection was not that great. If there's a question, I'd be happy to answer it.
Yeah, my connection is probably not good.
Per se for Edward. You offered opinions about the differences in relation to interpreting Hitler's role and all that. Bruce,
yeah, here's the question. Here's the question. How do we reverse this without repeating the German experiment in 1933-38? Because it succeeded. That's the only example that I can think of that actually reversed course on all this communist, Bolshevik, Zionist control. I don't think liberty itself and being a patriot, you know, I don't think that cuts it anymore. It's just, the enemy is just too overwhelming.
Well, the first thing, I mean, you have to, their power comes from their ability to print money. So the love of money is the root of all evil. All right. That biblical concept is so true. These people love money and they control money. Once you remove that control from them, then you will have freedom. So the idea is we have to have a sound money system. everything pivots from that. Without a sound money system, you know, it, and by the way, this is a spiritual issue, okay? So this is, in the end, a spiritual issue. We're dealing with really a concept. People try to look at this. I mean, that's why Hitler failed, all right? He looked at it in terms of, you know, going...
Hitler didn't fail until he was bored upon.
Pardon me?
Bruce Kent. Hitler did not fail until he was warred upon and the country was destroyed. He succeeded. Don't you know about the German economic miracle?
Right. Okay. Now, he was, the thing is, he was entrapped into going into World War II. So
they're talking pro Hitler right now. I don't think I can just do a prayer.
I am. I
That's
am.
A good point. I agree with it.
Can I mention something about Moshe real quick?
Hitler was the pawn that you make him out to be. I believe that he fully understood his role, and he acted accordingly. He would not have been in that position unless he was put there by very powerful forces. It's the same with Trump. Trump is not who you think he is. Okay? So the same Trump that said lock her up didn't lock her up.
Right.
Okay. Ronald Reagan, he took office, remember, with a platform of the Republican Party to get rid of the Department of Education. It's still with us today. You know, Trump was put in office to build the wall. He dilly-dallied for 2 years. Okay. Never finished it. Then he signs, then he makes an announcement. We will never be a socialist country. And then he signs a $6 trillion socialist program. Okay. He declares a medical emergency completely unconstitutional. So, you know, there are a lot of parallels between Trump and Hitler. So you can't deify Hitler because he did some things that you like.
I think that's extremely interesting, Ed. We ought to do a program on exactly that issue of Trump compared to Hitler. Scorpio, your thoughts?
Well, Jim, I think this is a very good point. I don't think you can put that much power in the hands of one man, no matter who it is. I think this is the essential problem. The idea that we're going to have anyone, be it Trump or Hitler or whoever, that's going to come use the power of government to save us, I think it's a fallacy to think that from the very start. I think what, you know, if you look at what's been going on in the 20th century, government has caused far more problems than it's solved. And genocides and mass killings, all of this has resulted from government. So, you know, I don't think we can look to government for any solutions. We're in a very abusive relationship with the federal government right now. And you have to ask yourself, do we even need a federal government at all when the state governments have more than enough power, more than they should, in fact? So I think we're going to really have to look outside of the typical solutions that we've been, as long as we're looking for government or the right leader or the right bill, I think we're just going to go round and round in circles, and this agenda is going to keep continuing. And unfortunately, the time we have left is very short before they really pull the plug on the world as we know it, because another thing that can come into play beyond war, beyond COVID, beyond so-called climate change is an intentional shortage of food. Is the most ominous cloud over the sky right now, which I think that is already the stage is already being set for that very thing to occur.
I of course agree that we have the mass killing us slowly, the vaccine faster, but starvation is the ultimate mechanism for population reduction. Giuseppe, a few comments from you before I take the next caller.
Well, I'd like to just defer to our next caller would be Tom from Idaho, which I don't know if Mitchell sees or not. Tom, are you there?
Well, before Tom talks, I wanted to get into what Scorpio had just mentioned, and I think you reiterated this concept of starvation. Right now, the federal government has already instituted a program where they are paying farmers to plow under their crops. They are threatening them that they don't. They'll bring regulatory sanctions against them, and they're paying them immense amounts of money to plow under their crops. If you look at any country, whenever there's starvation in that country, you can always look to government. It's caused by the government. Okay, so you're absolutely right. And all you got to do is look at Bill Gates, his control of so much farmland that he recently purchased. And then you have the government having farmers plow under their crops. And yes, I think you are going to look at food shortages. And with regard to states' rights were absolutely subjugated when the 17th Amendment, the direct election of senators. In the olden days, the states controlled the senators. They determined which senators, and they could recall them. Now, with direct popular election of the senators, the states have lost control of the Senate. See, that's the problem. The 17th Amendment is the fly in the ointment.
That's extremely interesting, Ed. I really like that. Giuseppe, you say we have Tom calling from Idaho. Tom, join the conversation.
Hi there, everybody. Can you hear me well?
Sound great.
Okay, perfect. Hey, I was pretty intrigued during the first hour, I guess, listening to Edward, because he seems to be a big believer in the Constitution. And I'm a guy who has a hard time taking it seriously, honestly, because, you know, I remember back when I was maybe 12 years old getting a pocket Constitution and reading this thing and just kind of like being a little bit bowled over by the whole thing, because it was like the Book of Hoyle, except for the United States, like the rules and regulations for how to play the United States of America. And what, you know, naturally the observation is that, what's going on doesn't seem to have anything at all in common with what the Constitution says they can do. So, I mean, you can look at, you know, all that history for, you know, from 17, what was it, 89 or 90, somewhere in there, where this thing's ratified, and look all the way to where we are. And you know, look at the present, you can see that the Congress, the President, the Supreme Court basically violate the Constitution as a total regular part of doing business. And then you also observe that everything's captured. You have the central banks printing infinite money. You know, the media is captured. Academics is captured. And I the thing I'm always bowled over by is, like, how can anybody take this thing seriously? It's done. We had a Constitution the entire time. What were we supposed to do? Vote harder? Or what is the proper reaction for people who live in this country, like, in terms of taking, you know, looking at the Constitution? What are we supposed to do about this?
And okay, point.
You want to feel that?
So let me address that. All you got to do is go back to what Mayor Amschel Rothschild said. He said, give me control of a nation's money supply, and I care not who makes its laws. Right. And that's where we're at right now. Okay. So, yes, the Constitution absolutely has been corrupted. Understand this, though. The Constitution is still the law of the land. It is the supreme law of the land, which every federal official has sworn an oath to support and defend. So even though, yes, it has been undermined by the sheer power of those who control the government, it is still there, and it is still an impediment to their subjugation of the people, if the people would only understand what the Constitution is. See, people have to understand, you are not granted any rights whatsoever in that Constitution. That Constitution is there to limit what the government can do in infringing on your God-given rights. In fact, if you read it, it starts off with Congress shall make no law. It's a limit on what the government can do. It assumes that you have the right to freedom of religion. It assumes you have the right to freedom of speech given to you by God. That concept is revolutionary. It's a revolutionary concept. It's the only country in the world with that concept. If people would only understand that, the problem is we are pumping people out of the public school system who do not understand that very basic concept of God-given rights.
and they can't read or write or do mathematics. I mean, they're idiots. We've dumbed down education. Paul from California, be concise, Paul. I want to squeeze in Murr after you. Go, Paul.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. You know that I have high respect for you. I hold you in high regard, just like I do Professor Fetzer. And, you know, we've communicated by email, so you know where I'm coming from most of the time. But I got to tell you, I agree with George Bush Jr. The Constitution is just a goddamn piece of paper at this point. We got to get clear in our heads what's going on. What we need more than anything is clarity and simplicity. As the great Giuseppe has said multiple times, the number of people involved in his estimation, in implementing this tyranny pretty much around the world, probably would not fill up a good-sized soccer stadium. And those people can be dealt with, okay? Here's what I am looking at right now. This is an existential battle in terms of whether we will exist or not. Right now, we're still here, okay? And I think we, as in we white people, men of the West, should do everything we can to ensure that we continue to exist, continue to prosper, and perpetuate our genetic heritage. That's what our role should be. And right now, we are getting our asses kicked. The people that we're dealing with are meaner than us. They're more determined than us. They're nastier than us. I don't like that, okay? When I was younger and I got in a few altercations here or there, I didn't like the fact that guys would try to look at me with a certain mean look, thinking that with their face or with their eyes that they were going to scare me. I hated that. Okay, so there's parts of me that are still a little bit nasty because I'm a nice guy, but don't try to be nasty with me. Don't try to be hard and mean with me. These Jews are cucking us in our own country. They're destroying us. They are destroying us. And we got to get it in our head. You know, we're walking out at night to our car, and there's two or three guys coming up on us. I don't care how many books we've read. I don't care how many self-defense courses we've taken. None of that stuff matters at this point. The bottom line is this is we are in a fight for our lives, and I don't want to hear anything from anybody. I was born and raised Catholic. I went to church. I did confirmation. I did Stations of the Cross. I did confession. I have a soft spot in my heart for Christianity. But don't tell me about, oh, it's spirits. It's a spiritual battle. You know what? Apparently these spirits want us to get injected with poison. These spirits want us to be locked down in our houses and our businesses. These spirits don't seem to give a damn about us. So you know what? It's a physical battle. We got to fight. Anybody that thinks that politics is going to have anything to do, that any party, any candidate is going to help us, anybody that thinks that is a child. And Bruce, that was one of the best things you said about Hitler did not fail. Hitler was destroyed. Germany was destroyed. Libya was destroyed. All kinds of nations are being destroyed. That's what these people do. They destroy.
All right, yeah, Paul. Awesome. Awesome. I think we have a frustrated caller. Roy, are you there? And where are you calling from?
Are you on me? Can you hear me?
Is this Roy?
Yeah, this is Roy.
Go ahead, Roy.
Well, I didn't want to break up the pro-Hitler caller who you guys were saying had some good points. You guys think you're going to be able to keep this show up here when you're doing literal segments praising Hitler?
Well, if you research Hitler,
it's my turn.
Complex historical situations that have many dimensions.
This guy just said the Jews are destroying our country from within and that we need to do something about it. And you guys said, he made some good points.
Okay, go whatever, ahead, Roy.
Don't come on here.
Did that guy not just say that the Jews are destroying things? Did he not just say that Hitler didn't fail? Did he not say all of those things and you guys agreed with him?
Don't interpret.
Yeah, Roy, you sound like a libtard, man. Let's get rid of Roy.
We're
going to
kick you off.
You're not going to come in here.
I think it's my turn.
Make your point.
Go ahead, Murr. Yeah, let's get rid
of Roy. Okay, my question is, have you guys had sex with anyone ever?
This guy's a fool.
Thanks,
okay.
Roy. Thanks.
Take care, Roy.
You made a lot of points here.
Yeah.
Murr, join me.
I had sex with your mom, so go on.
Not to give that troll any more time, but I
you guys can't even figure out how to hang up the fucking phone?
I think he's the one from the Jewish coven in Florida.
Hear from you. Go ahead, Murr.
Go ahead, Murr.
Go
Did
ahead,
you
Ron.
Hear me?
I figured yes, out I where he was. What a
Florida?
What a cuck. Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah. Mark.
I'm sorry, you people are omitting, especially you, Edward Hendry. Do you have no idea that hundreds of titles of books questioning the Holocaust and what all happened there were destroyed by Amazon because rabbis told him to? That was February 23, 2017. Exactly 1 month later, Michael Kadar was busted in Israel by a group 12 FBI that Trump sent in there. What happened in Syria shortly after that was a cover for that. Putin and Assad were in on it. Things crumbled apart a whole lot after that, but that is what happened. So there's a lot more. Try hitlerspeaceplans.com and try this Kodo link, and I put them in the chat. There's much more. Do you know Hitler arrested a Rothschild and took over the bank in Vienna? Do you ever hear about that? I don't think that was their plan.
Can't follow what you're saying, and if I can't follow what you're saying, probably the audience can't follow what you're saying. I get.
Can you hear me though? Can you hear my words?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hear your words, Murr. That doesn't mean the same thing as understanding what you're saying. You're not saying.
Okay.
It correctly.
All right. Can you hear this? Listen to this. Hitler arrested a Rothschild and took over his bank in Vienna. I don't think that was the Rothschild's plan, but they paid him mucho bucks to get him out of jail. That was part of where he got his money from. There were some Jewish bankers like Schacht that sided with Hitler. They wrote off the debt and made their own currency that was based on labor. Everyone got to travel. We're just lied entirely about what happened in Germany. And what happened before? Yeah, Weimar, just like we're having now.
Questions and topics are so complicated that we can't do them justice in a phone call. Edward, I'd like you to give us a final thought here. We've just been enthralled to have you here again. We look forward to the next time. Edward.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.